You're listening to Off Topic with Big Woo and Friends, streaming live on the Big Woo Radio app. Here's your host, Big
NBA, NFL, it's game time. March Madness, BCS, it's Off Topic Sports that's in effect.
It's game time.
That's right, you can't hide. In fact, check who's fake and who's prime time.
It's game time.
Donnie, Big, Les, and JB. Talking touchdowns, home runs, and deep three.
Free.
Over and
free.
Under with JT.
It's game time.
The topic is off, different than most. You can call in, listen, or drop a post. It's Big Woo, and he's your host.
It's game time.
On time, hitting with force. Without further ado, it's Woo and his crew as we welcome you to Off Topic Sports.
Sports. It's game time.
Yo, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening? What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Off Topic Sports. It is Sunday. It is 6:01. It's a great day in the neighborhood, and we got a lot of sports on deck. Thanks for everybody listening live on BigWooRadio.com, and everybody's downloaded the Big Woo Radio app at your Google Play Store, and all our folks to search us out in the podcast app. We appreciate that more than you even know, man. We also like it when you follow us on all our social media, so go like us, support us, follow us, and all that good stuff. Man, what we got? We got NBA draft. It just happened. We're going to talk to our guy Donnie about the NBA draft and what he thought about the NBA draft in a few minutes. Who got better? The Hornets, what about their picks? We'll talk about those picks with Donnie. We'll see how he feels about those. We also got some NFL. The Panthers win. And then there's some quarterback controversy going on, the overrated and underrated. So we'll talk to the fellas about Ben Roethlisberger and Lamar Jackson and some of the other quarterbacks that are in the NFL. Who's overrated? Who's underrated? We'll throw some names out at you. But for right now, let me bring in my man, Adonis Donnie Martin. What's going on, player?
Not a thing. Sitting back enjoying this wonderful Sunday afternoon or / evening at the moment. Word getting up. Ready to talk sports with fellas.
Absolutely. Also got Big Les is in the building. What's going on, Big Les?
Man, it's just beautiful. It's beautiful. You know, it's beautiful like when your team is 10-0. It's beautiful when you just keep getting games upon games in the picks and you running away from everybody. It's just beautiful to be with the fellas and talk sports when we haven't talked in so long. I missed you guys. Man, it's just a beautiful day. What can I say?
Big Les, it is beautiful for you anyway. Also got my man James J.T. Thompson. He's in the building. What's happening, player?
I'm sitting here enjoying the New York Jets playing on my NFL Sunday ticket. I'm glad to see them getting some airtime and just flipping through, man, enjoying the, you know, football Sunday. Glad that no NFL games were affected by COVID. Just enjoying it, man.
No doubt. I am enjoying it as well. I had to work all day, but if you hear the fatigue in my voice, it's because it's been a long week. I'm just trying to tell you right now. But it has been a great day in the NFL. I'm going to give you some highlights real quick. I can't give you highlights. You wouldn't be able to see them. I can give you some scores. Some games going on right now. Denver's up on Miami 13-10. I picked Miami to win, of course. The Chargers are up on the Jets 24-13. Of course, nobody picks the Jets but Donnie because he has to. Green Bay at halftime is up 28-14 on Indianapolis. Dallas at halftime is winning against Minnesota 16-7. And anybody watching that game, you saw a hit put on Dalvin Cook that was just a textbook tackle. It was beautiful to watch. Hope Dalvin Cook is all right because he's on my fantasy team. But he got his bell rung. It was a hit and a fumble. And Dallas had got the ball. It was a beautiful hit. Anybody watching that game, it was great. All right, some games that already went final. It's Kansas. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Tennessee over Baltimore, 30-24. Cleveland over Philadelphia, 22-17. Houston over New England 27-20, and as Big Les alluded to, Pittsburgh 10-0, and beat up on Jacksonville 27-3, and Washington over Cincinnati 20-9. No matter how many times I pick against Washington, they just keep winning. They just keep winning. And what else? New Orleans over Atlanta 24-9. Carolina over Detroit 20-8. And there's your scores. We'll give you some more updates a little later on, but for the games that are going on right now. But let's get into this. Let's start with the NBA draft. We'll get into some football in a little bit. But the NBA draft was quite exciting for the young guys, quite emotional for some young guys that got to fulfill their dream and having their name called at the NBA draft. One of those guys was LaMelo Ball, and he ended up going third to the Hornets. And I must say, this is probably one of the most attractive picks since, you know, back in the day when the Hornets were the Hornets, and they drafted pretty good. But this is this LaMelo Ball kid, I've heard, is about to do some great things. He's a really good player, but his maturity level might not be all the way there yet. That's something that can be, you know, that's going to come with time with young men. But it's his, what I want to know from Donnie, NBA analyst and Big Les, is about LaMelo Ball being the right pick and the right fit for the Charlotte Hornets. Is this maybe a point in the Hornets franchise that you may start to see a turn to where they can be a relevant team year after year? Is LaMelo Ball that type of pick? Not to mention the trade they got for Gordon. So that's going to be huge as well. But I want to talk about these picks that the Charlotte Hornets got. Donnie, what are your thoughts on how the Hornets done in the draft?
I personally like the pick. Like you said, it's probably the most exciting pick in the town since, you know, Larry Johnson, Alonzo Mourning days back then. Since then, no incoming prospect has been this much exciting, or this, you know, the city has been this excited about, including Kemba Walker, because Kemba Walker was more of a late first round draft pick, and we actually got pretty lucky by getting him as late as we did, and him blossoming into the player that he became. But only thing that sucks about this COVID, because I definitely think, if nothing else, LaMelo Ball will draw butts to the seats, which is what the Hornets have been needing for a long time. And even, but if he messes around and fails before you get fans back in arenas and gets exposed, and the excitement falls off of him by the time that the season rolls around, you know, fans are allowed to attend the stadiums again, that could in turn hurt the Hornets in that aspect. But overall, LaMelo Ball should make the Hornets a better basketball team than they were before. He's going to bring guys along like PJ Washington. He's going to allow guys like Malik Monk and Miles Bridges to run the floor the way that's where they thrive at. They're not slow down half court offensive guys. So they need a point guard that pushes the pace and, more importantly, likes to pass. LaMelo Ball can mess around and average, you know, double digit assists on this team next year if he can get the most out of those guys. My only concern about him is the position. And I just simply mean the Hornets' two best players already play the one and the two, and both of them are pretty much combo guards. And I'm sorry, I lost the boy's name. Y'all know who I'm referring to, Devontae Graham, then Terry Rozier, who came over from the Celtics last year. So that's the problem, is that all three of your best players play that same position. But I also feel like if somehow you could play a little small ball, get those three on the court at the same time, and then play Miles Bridges maybe at the power forward, it would be, you're going to have a struggle to guard people, but it's going to also simultaneously be a fun team to watch. So I'm excited about LaMelo Ball. The Gordon Hayward signing is, I'm halfway on that. And what I mean by that is Gordon Hayward is by all means a good player. I hope we did not overpay for him, which is, you know, a problem that the Hornets have consistently had, overpaying mm-hmm. for guys after they pass their prime. So I hope it's not a case of that. But I'm excited to see what Gordon Hayward can bring to the basketball team. He's a veteran. You pretty much know what you're going to get out of him. Young team, he can help the young guys along, as well as he can put the ball in the hole. So that's and spread the floor. That's exactly what the Hornets need. So hopefully everything works out. It's going to be a slow process. Guys in the future wouldn't mind playing with LaMelo Ball. So if nothing else, having him here for the next 4 or 5 years may be a free agent magnet. And, you know, I'm excited about the future of Hornets basketball with LaMelo.
Yeah. Big Les, do you know much about LaMelo Ball? And what do you think about him turning the Hornets around?
Well, basically, I haven't seen a lot of him, but I've seen him. Everything Donnie said with me is right on point. So I'm going to kind of come from a different angle. I think one of the biggest problems that Ball may have may be his father. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, is his father going to be talking all this mess he talked before? Is he going to be going to tell Michael Jordan what, you know, his son ought to be doing and things like that? So if his dad just chills out and let the boy just mature into being a basketball player, then I think that can help. Well, Charlotte improve with some of the transactions that they've made? I think they will, but no one's looking talking about Atlanta. Atlanta is loaded, and I think they're going to be a more bigger surprise than Charlotte. So, they've really made some moves. So I think everybody should be really looking towards Charlotte. Atlanta. Make a bigger impact than maybe Charlotte, but I think Ball will do his thing.
Okay. All right. That's what's up. JT, let me bring you in, man, and get your thoughts on the Hornets and how they done with their picks and LaMelo Ball, if you know much about the young fellow.
Yeah, I do. I've watched him, the transition overseas and just him going from a 5'8 player to a 6'7 player. Being overseas a couple of years that he's been, I think he will have an impact, but I think more so than anything, it'll be the pieces that they put around him that's going to help him evolve as a player and, you know, him being able to impact, you know, the Hornets and making them relevant again. I guess I want to segue to ask Donnie, does he think that the Hornets spending $120 million on Gordon Hayward, is that going to help them moving forward, you know what I'm saying, as far as getting where they want to be as a franchise? Was Gordon Hayward worth 4 years, $120 million, in order to help, you know, the team continue to come where they can be competitive?
That highly depends on Gordon Hayward. Can he stay healthy, which will be the number one thing when we're talking about him. Because $120 million is a huge number in dollars. But in today's NBA, it's about what someone of his caliber should be getting. So, yeah, he actually plays a little bit of defense. And he's a fit. He's a plug and play type of guy. So, meaning if you need him to average 20 points a game for you because you're lacking scoring, he can step up and do that. But also, if you eventually over the next 3 or 4 years of his contract, you surround him with a whole lot of talent, he can fit in well and be a niche piece without being a problem. So, I'm with you on the fact that A, it has a lot to do with what do the Hornets do around those guys, just as much as can he live up to his, stay healthy. But $120 million a lot in today's NBA. If Gordon Hayward can give you that 16-5 and 5 like he's used to, then, you know, you're getting your money's worth in today's NBA, and that's what the Hornets need.
I also wanted to ask you, Donnie, about the guys that are leaving the Lakers. Dwight Howard went and signed the contract with Philadelphia, and Rondo's in Atlanta, and also Green is gone now. Does it say something that the guys are leaving after winning the championship, or is that just the norm of the business in the NBA right now?
That's what it is. That's just a part of the NBA. A couple of guys knew during the beginning of the season and during this playoff run that they wouldn't be there. But you definitely try to get the chip while you're there. You know, that hardware sticks with you for life. So I think a lot of them guys, Dwight, Howard, Rondo, are happy to end up being able to take that jewelry rhythm on their stay in L.A. But they know that's what it is, especially Dwight Howard. He's been nothing more than a journeyman over the last few years in the NBA. So he – you know, he's going to be signing one and done contracts over the end of his twilight of his career. So not surprised by what happened with the Lakers. I think they did a good job of replacing some talent as well so far. So I'm interested to see how the rest of their free agent period goes up or who all they end up filling out that roster with. But the departures don't surprise me, and I don't think they're going to have a huge impact on the overall of Lakers next year.
Also, too, a lot of them guys, when they sign, who wouldn't want to play with LeBron? Because most people who have played with LeBron, they've gone other places and made more money. So when you look at it, you can say, I can win a championship. You know, I can get a chance to play well, and LeBron's going to help me play better or look better maybe. And so my career changes. And so if you look at it, I think it was the second or third round of the playoffs before the Lakers even went to the championship, Howard had a great series. He was the difference maker for them. So everybody has, you know, Rondo, everybody has had their chance to shine for the Lakers.
And bring up your point about how LeBron makes A players better, get you more money. It took NBA 2K21 for me to realize that Matthew Dellavedova still played for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And if y'all can remember, that was his number two scorer in the NBA Finals going up against the Hall of Fame Golden State Warriors. And, like, that guy, and you haven't heard a peep out of him since. Didn't even know he was still in the NBA until I just saw it on the video game.
JB, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, nothing much. When you talk about LaMelo Ball, my concern about this kid is this. He's been put in perfect situations since he was in high school, AAU ball, going overseas to play, where the league even made sure that he started. So now he's coming to the NBA where he's going to have to become a dog and work. And they're going to be gunning for him. And then having Michael Jordan as his general manager, we all know Michael Jordan is known test you from a mental and psychological standpoint. Is he strong enough to deal with that challenge for Michael Jordan and to grow up in the NBA to play with these grown men? That's one. Two, Lakers have gotten better. You bring in key guys, even though Dwight Howard was a shell of himself. But you got a guy who comes in who's a dog on defense. He gives maximum effort. He's around the board, and he's more of a defensive presence. And at the same time, you have another guy coming in who can create his own shot, and he shoots the ball more efficiently and effectively than Rondo does. So he may not run the offense as good as Rondo. However, you're getting younger guys that could be a nucleus on that team, because LeBron James only has, another year or two left. And then you have to worry about Anthony Davis structuring his contract to be on point with LeBron James. So if you don't think the Lakers have gotten better this year with the acquisition of these guys, then you got youth, you got guys who can put the ball in the hole, and you got guys that can stroke the three and not be liabilities on the defensive end of the ball.
100% agreed. And then to your point with LaMelo Ball, I think that all that he has been through, like you said, he did have the luxury of, hey, this kid, you know, being babied in the situation of getting the start. But everything else around that, that's tough for a young man. I respect what he did. I think that was going through the fire in his way. You got to realize he's played in four different leagues against grown men over the past two or three years and has excelled in all of them. And, you know, you go to places where you're not even speaking the language, not even accustomed to the foods, the culture, or anything else, and you survive that as well as you still excel on the basketball court. I think that added a level of mental toughness that most college kids don't even have to go through. And he was already grouped.
household where you're the youngest brother of two of one NBA star and another pretty good prospect. So you've been going through the fire your entire life and already trying to prove yourself. So I think that I think this kid will be just fine. You know, only time will tell if he's mentally tough enough. But I think the things that he's gone through so far have definitely prepared him for this moment.
704-489-3316. We're talking about LaMelo Ball, the NBA draft, and the Charlotte Hornets. Got Donnie in the building, Big Les, James J.T. Thompson, and, of course, JB, Mr. 299. Go ahead, JB.
I think when you look at LaMelo, he's going to have to improve on defense and his awareness on switches. He's also shot 25% from the three-point range last year playing overseas. You can't compare the physicality and how more in depth the NBA is versus, well, because he cherry picked a lot. He was a liability on defense. Okay, so when you say mental toughness, they catered to this kid over there. Yeah, he's going through some situations that he probably grown and learned from. But let's look at the players who came up overseas and came to the NBA and realized, I really got to get my stuff together. Let's take a coach, Tony Kukoc. When Tony Kukoc first came to the NBA, he realized his game wasn't on point where it should be. Even though LaMelo has been playing pickup ball with a lot of these NBA players, we all know it's a different game when regular season starts.
Well, I mean, you don't think his brother might be informing him, you know, that, hey, man, you got to get right. This ain't no, you know what I mean? I would imagine that he's getting some insight about the NBA and the fact that he's playing pickup games, like you said, with a lot of NBA players. I think he would know what to expect. I mean, his body has changed. I think he looks the part, you know, 6'7". I don't know how much he weighed, but he looked like he's, you know, put on some muscle since being on overseas. So I would imagine he might have a heads up with his brother already being in the NBA. What you thoughts, JB?
Well, I'm going to say this, Wu. First of all, you got to deal with Terry Rozier. He didn't even back down to Kyrie Irving. And look how he balled out in Boston. Two of your best players on the team are playing that same position, and you have to look at their consistency, and you have to look at how physical these guys are. Sure. Yeah, he's 6'7", but how many 6'7", 6'8" guys we seen coming to the league that ain't hitting on nothing? And we don't know. We really don't know where he is mentally until he's put in the situation. Hey, he's coming in there now.
About 3 or 4 6'8" point guards in NBA history, and all of them are Magic Johnson, Jalen Rose, Jason Kidd, who was only like 6'5". So, I mean, like 6'8" point guards, it's not a lot of them, and I can't think of any of those that are failed. And you definitely, got to get this kid an opportunity to grow into his body. He was only 5'9" a couple of years ago, so he's right. Only going to get stronger and better as time progresses. And then he's a better passer already than both of those other two, Devontae Graham.
Yeah, I agree with you on.
So give him a time. And like you said, and as far as the toughness goes, Kukoc and those other guys, they've never seen the NBA game prior to coming here. This is a kid that grew up watching NBA basketball, playing pickup game against NBA players when he was 15, 16 years old. And then, as you said, the kids that are coming in now are kids that were in high school with him that he was better than then. So it's not like he's foreign to what he's about to go into. Like, I 100% agree. The NBA is a whole different fool. It's a grown man's game. The worst player you're going to face on a nightly basis is probably your own brother. So you're definitely going to have to come and step the game up. But I haven't seen anything from him that lets me feel like he's scared of that challenge. It's just going to take him a while. You know, he's not going to come in and be an instant splash like AI or somebody like that. But it'll take him a while. But once he grows into his body, gets a little stronger, oh, yeah, he's going to be a monster.
Especially playing in Charlotte.
Well, let me say this real quick, Donnie. The Gordon Hayward pickup, I think it's a horrible pickup for the sense of the money that they paid, because you could have been getting $34 million a year in Boston, and you opted out, which goes to show Michael Jordan is once again the John Elway of general managers in the NBA. because to bring this guy in, and he's been hurt year in, year out, and to say if he gives you 16 to 18 and 8 a game, you're getting your money's worth. Well, if that's the case, the Lakers just got the boy from the Clippers who came in who can give him 16 points, 8, 10 rebounds, and maximum effort. And they got him for $16 million for $19 million for 2 years. So you telling me that Gordon Hayward, who hasn't been consistent being on the court, and then even when he is on the court, he's been a shell of himself from what he was years ago before he got to Boston. That's a good acquisition.
I said while I was talking, it's yet to be seen. It all depends on how he plays. And if he comes in and stinks it up, you do not get your money's worth. If he comes in and balls out, then you most certainly did. You know, Gordon Hayward is still a solid player if he can play at his best. That's yet to be seen. So only a season or two will tell if the Hornets got their money's worth for that. But I'm with you. I would have much rather spent the money elsewhere on a probably either a better talent or less money for the talent that we got. But only time will tell. You know, Gordon Hayward might come in here and give you 28-8 next year. And if that's the case, you definitely got your money's worth for it.
Donnie, real quick before we hit the break, we want to stay on the NBA real quick. But what are some of the teams that you think got better, that improved themselves, and it will show in their standings come next season? I know Big Les had mentioned Atlanta. People got to worry about Atlanta. Of course, we're talking about the Hornets with the LaMelo pick, which is an attractive pick. It'll probably one of their most exciting picks since they've been a franchise. Became the Hornets. It's probably one of the best picks in a long time for the Hornets. What do you think? What other team out there? Give me one or two other teams that will change their standings. The standings will get better because of their picks in the draft this year.
I'll give you two real quick, and it'll be the Hornets with the third pick. It'll be the pick number one and number two. So let's start with number two. The Golden State Warriors, they're going to get better by default just by getting Steph Curry back. Would have been nice if they would have been able to get Klay to go with them as well, and then we're talking about a finals contender once again. But unfortunately, you know, Klay went down again. But they added in James Wiseman. That's what they need, a big athletic big man. You know, they haven't had a big man this good since David Lee, when he played for them during their first championship run, was pretty solid. But they still haven't had anybody, whether it's, I can't even think of any of their big men that they've had during this run. They had some pretty good guys, but no, they had a lot of rotation guys, JaVale McGee, but nobody out there for 25, 30 minutes a game. And that's exactly who they picked up by drafting James Wiseman, somebody that, especially when Steph and Klay come back, you have a real inside presence, a good rebounder, an athletic guy that can, you know, guard people on the switch, catch alley-oops. So, and even without Klay, I think he's going to help improve Golden State, because now you got Draymond Green and Wiseman down there in the paint causing problems with people. That's going to be a good look for Golden State. Yeah. And then I feel like my Timberwolves got better with Anthony Edwards. I think that was a solid pickup. I was confused as to who Minnesota should take with number one. That was a tough spot for me because I felt like those top three, you really couldn't go wrong. But do we need James Wiseman with Karl Anthony Towns on the team? No. Do we need LaMelo Ball with what's the little kid that snitched on Swaggy P? D'Angelo Russell. Do we really need LaMelo Ball with D'Angelo Russell on the team? No, not really. So we added a scorer to go with that. We lost Andrew Wiggins in the D'Angelo Russell trade with Golden State. So we got our point guard in D'Angelo, and then we picked up a wing who can be just as solid, if not better, than Andrew Wiggins and Anthony Edwards. So I'm excited. I don't think he's going to make an instant impact, as such as, you know, 25 points a game in year one. But you get this kid a couple of years in the NBA, and I'm expecting him to turn out with, I mean, big shoes to fill is Dwayne Wade, but I'm expecting that style of play from him. Numbers. But I'm expecting that. So I expect my Timberwolves and Golden State to instantly get better next year after this draft.
Absolutely.
But free agency is going to have a lot to do with everything after it plays out. But the draft of them two teams.
Cool.
Hey, Donnie, when is Karl Anthony Towns going to emerge as a leader and as a player, we expected him to be to come into the league because he's still playing.
You know what?
He still hurt
I'm
too.
I'm waiting on that. And I'm getting to be impatiently waiting on that. And I'm starting to bought into it when Jimmy Butler called him out. But then when I saw that ragtag group of players that Jimmy Butler dragged to the NBA Finals with him in Miami, and I was, God damn, if my boys would have just followed suit with the talent that we had, Jimmy could have put us on his shoulders. But I see what Jimmy meant. That was our problem. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a heart. And Jimmy saw that. And that's why he got up out of town. He saw that in Philly as well. You got the talent, you just don't have the toughness. And so I don't know when my boy is going to break through. But if and whenever he does, it's going to be a problem for the NBA because he has that much talent. He just doesn't realize it yet.
Yep. Got to take a break. Got to leave it right there. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We're going to talk some NFL. We got a lot going on. We got to compare some quarterbacks. Who's overrated? Who's underrated? We're going to talk about them Steelers, 10-0. Kudos to the Steelers, man. And we'll come back, talk big less about the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger and among other things. So don't go anywhere. This is my man, DJ Koo. Cha-cha-cha. We'll be right back after these messages. Off-topic sport.
The legendary DJ Kool, and I don't care what nobody say. Woo Radio is the best radio station, period. All right? And I said that, and I meant that.
You're listening to Big Woo Radio.
Brand new music from my man, DJ Kool, cha-cha-cha. And shout out to sponsors and supporters. Wood Forest National Bank, Men's Warehouse of Rock Hill, 24K Rides, TCB 5400 Club at 5400 Nevin Road, Clover Parks and Recreations, Winthrop University, Warren Publishing, Clinton College, Port of Decals, Hydrocephalus Association of America, please go to nomorebrainsurgeries.org, Primetime Players, The Connected Group, New Soul Music, Mr. Dark Eye, Black Trophy Society, some guy named Jay. Below the Deck, Mr. Nick Folks, Enterprise Management, Tony Nicole, SMG, Mr. J Lock. Hats off to you, Couture, and All About Us Radio. Be right back. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk some NFL on the other side of the break.
Attention business owners and entrepreneurs in the Rock Hill, South Carolina area. Are you currently looking for a great office space to lease right now? Well, all you got to do is come down to 742 North Anderson Road in Rock Hill, South Carolina. They are now leasing office spaces that includes great amenities like 24/7 building access, front desk service, coffee shop, sandwich shop, networking and social events, mail handling, and even reliable Wi-Fi. All you got to do is give Frank a call at 803-200-1605. Once again, call Frank at 803-200-1605. They are now leasing office spaces. Yes, at 742 North Anderson Road in Rock Hill, South Carolina. This is a great place that you are guaranteed to enjoy working in.
Hey, y'all, I'm Nima Shining Star L, and you can catch me every Sunday, 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IG Live in the Art Room with Nima, where I will have special interviews with special guests you don't want to miss. And then you can catch me Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook Live. That's right, Facebook Live Thoughts Provoked, where every topic is definitely a hot topic. Do not miss. So if you can't catch me on IG Live, 7, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, shoot on over to Facebook, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hey, y'all. Hey, y'all. Hey, y'all.
From olive colored skin to chocolate brown, lipsticks and lip gloss should be color rich, long lasting, bold and luscious. Bold and Luscious Cosmetics. Find them at BALcosmetics.com. Complete with vitamin E, lanolin, and antioxidants, Bold and Luscious gives you soft, moisturized lips all day. Reds, nudes, pinks, darks, bright. BALcosmetics.com. BALcosmetics.com.
Listen to Big Woo Radio. Y'all hear what I say? I want y'all to listen to Big Woo Radio.
This is Big Woo Radio, a station for the people, by the people, serving Rock Hill, South Carolina and surrounding areas, Charlotte, North Carolina and surrounding areas, serving worldwide at BigWooRadio.com. Thank you so much for listening.
Back to the program, 704-489-3316. That's how you get in if you want to get in. Talk about whatever topics we've been discussing today, the LaMelo Ball, the NBA draft, the Hornets. That's again 704-489-3316. Thanks everybody that's joined us at the top of the hour, 6 o'clock. We're halfway through, but if you just now joined us, then you missed the first half. But you can always go back and listen to it in its entirety wherever you listen to podcasts on tomorrow. Whether it's iHeart, iTunes, TuneIn, Deezer, Spotify, Alexa, wherever you listen to podcasts, just check out Big Woo, man. You can Google us, and we want to thank everybody that's listening on BigWooRadio.com. We appreciate that. All right, so we talked about the NBA draft. Donnie, want to bring in my man, Big Les. Big Les, your Steelers are 10-0 after putting a smack down on the Jaguars today. Everybody expected that. I believe everybody chose Pittsburgh to win, even though they're, you know, 10-0, and it's hard to keep winning. But it was Jacksonville, so we'll give them that. But 10-0, still no easy feat. I mean, they had to beat a lot of teams, a lot of divisional opponents, a lot of big games. I would say that the Steelers should be the favorite to win the Super Bowl this year. They should be the favorite. I mean, they still got to deal with Kansas City, but they are, like I said, 10-0. Now, what I want you to get into is your quarterback, man, Big Ben Roethlisberger. He's got 2 Super Bowls, I think, under his belt. He's just a big, and he just continued to just win games for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But some of the experts, Big Les, say little Ben is underrated. They people just don't give him the credit that he needs or deserves. After you look at, you know, Drew Brees and Russell Wilson and what you know, what Tom Brady has done over his career, Big Ben is not looked in even Aaron Rodgers. Big Ben is not looked upon as one of those greats like that by most experts. You know, do you believe your quarterback is underrated and doesn't get the respect that he deserves?
Well, before I answer that question, I want to go back to something else you said about us winning the Super Bowl. And I think Kansas City is 1A or is 1, and we're 1A, you know, realistically. So, you know, I would like to see Kansas City lose about 2 more games, because the pressure is on us, because that Tennessee game hurt us, because now we got to play 13 weeks in a row. So, you know, because our bye was thrown off. So I think rest is important. Hopefully we play Thursday and then we can rest. We'll have yesterday to rest, but you still got to put Kansas City up there, man. As far as our quarterback, I think one reason he might be underrated because the Steelers, they've always been more run oriented. You know, they're known kind of like, well, we're going to run the ball and we kind of pound it.
Right.
More so than maybe Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and his counterpart. So I think that's one thing. I also think that people don't give him his respect because of his past.
Mm.
When he got in trouble with the sex scandal,
yeah,
and things of that nature. So a lot of people don't want to let go of that. But definitely to the Pittsburgh Steelers, he is definitely important because if he goes down, our season's over. And if you just look at the difference, two things made from last year to change the Steelers. They were horrible on defense. They could not get off the field on third down. They go get Kirkpatrick, and the defense just did a total 360.
Mm.
And then the other thing was Ben came back to the Steelers, and they were 8-8. Kirkpatrick came, they were winning games through their defense, and the two quarterbacks they had, both were, two of them together wouldn't have made a good third string quarterback. So, Ben comes and things are a little different. And so if they can keep him healthy, I think they have an opportunity to have a good season. And by the way, Tua just got hurt, so he's out.
Uh-oh. Tua just got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt.
Oh, my goodness. I know I shouldn't pick him from a fantasy football team. JT, Ben Roethlisberger, underrated. Should he be getting more respect? And should he be in the running for MVP, JT?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, he should definitely be in the running for MVP. He's reminding us of why he had success early in his career. And despite of, anything, as far as personal decisions on the field, the guy is just a winner. And he's showing us again why he still has that competitive edge and why the Steelers are successful. One of the reasons outside of coaching. Coaching, I believe, is the one reason why. And number two, their quarterback should be in the running for the MVP, should be favored in the MVP race. I think, the Steelers go as far as, Big Ben staying healthy and continuing to be a leader and leading that offense and the team is in general. And he's just been spectacular. I can't say anything about him. He's been, awesome. You would think that, at his age and all the years of him being a veteran in the league, anything would have been diminished, but he's still able to get it done. And the whole thing is being able to do what he needs to do in order to lead that team to victory, week in and week out. So, yeah, he definitely a candidate for MVP.
So, JB, Mr. 299, your San Francisco 49ers sit at 4-6, and we have a bet going that, I had said that your 49ers would be 6-10, 8-8 at best. Are you scared? Are you nervous?
No. 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 And you hear the confidence. You hear how I speak with conviction and confidence, right?
I hear.
No, I think even with my team's losing record right now, I have more confidence than you can have in your Dallas Cowboys at this time, who's on the clock for a quarterback. So,
but the bet had nothing to do with the Dallas Cowboys.
So yeah, I know, but no. K-N-O-W, no.
All right, well, I'm going to ask you and Donnie about a different quarterback. Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is having some troubles this year, JB. And, there are people out there saying that, he's overrated. He gets too much credit as a quarterback, and all he can do is run. He can't pass, and people have short memories, but I'm going to ask you, JB, is Lamar Jackson all of a sudden overrated?
No, I honestly think when you look at Lamar Jackson, people are really only holding him to the two playoff games he's played in where he's had a poor QB rating and completion percentage. understandably so, but you can't judge him over those two games, you know, for his whole career. The kid's shown he's thrown 5 touchdowns in a game. He's thrown for over 300 yards multiple times. So I think what he said earlier this season, there was some truth to it when he said, we've become predictable.
Yeah.
We're talking about a kid who played in a West Coast offense at Louisville, mm-hmm. who won a Heisman. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. So it's not like the West Coast style offense is one of the most complicated offenses there is to learn, and he excelled at it. But yet, Harbaugh, we have to look at who the head coach is, you know, and we have to look at the talent around him and that offensive line. They were a team or based on running the ball, but let's look at his wide receiver. Who do they really have out there that scares you? Who do they really have out there that's going to give you separation except for the two big tight ends that they have who have been most reliable for them? So I think if Baltimore makes a decision to go out here, get a wide receiver who's going to be a threat to open it up, to take the top off the defense, or to open it up for those tight ends or those backs coming out of backfield, then you can give him better opportunities for higher completion passes. But I think they have to open it up. So, yeah. You know, the formula that worked for them the past 2 years, teams have started to figure it out. Yeah. And in NFL, as defenses evolve, when they see you a few times, so yeah. and playing in a division.
Yeah, and
a Hall of Fame quarterback you have to contend against too. He's going to be judged against him because they're their biggest competition.
Yeah, and what teams have we known to win much of anything when your tight end is your leading receiver? I mean, that ain't gonna work.
New England Patriots. Oh, well, I can name quite a few teams. Let's go back to the 96, 97 Broncos, Shannon Sharp, even though they still had Rod out there. Let's look at New England Patriots when.
But they all had receivers, though, still. They all still had receivers that was eating it up, too. I mean, their wide receivers, the tight ends were good. You know, Shannon Sharp, they were a bunch of go-to, but Shannon Sharp was a freaky type. He was a freak of nature anyway. But, I mean, there's guys, tight ends out there that were on winning teams, but those teams also had at least one receiver that was showing out, too, that was leading the team. So, Andrews, I believe he's the leading receiver for the Baltimore Ravens.
Give me the number one wide receiver that Tom Brady had while Gronkowski was there that took pressure off of him. I'll wait.
Julian Edelman?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, Coach Les. Hey, Les, get on him, Les, please. Please.
Hey, wait. Well, one thing I want to say real quick about Lamar, here's two things that I think need to be brought out. When Lamar was having his success, they ran a lot of three tight end situations. Mm-hmm. So they ran, they threw to their tight end, so they ran a lot of three tight end. It was kind of new to the NFL. But if you look at it now, a lot of teams are not running the three tight end offense. So what is that telling you? If they're running it, they're also defending it. And the last point people are not even really talking about, that Lamar's offensive line has been hurt. He lost one through free agency. And then I think he's got two or three guys that's hurt now. So, you know, that makes a difference when you play with guys that you've trusted to protect you and they're not there anymore.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
He can have a bad year.
Let's use your Cowboys as an example. When Ezekiel Elliott came into the league, he was considered one of the top three backs in the league.
Right.
When you look at that offensive line, then right now, is it Martin? Who's the guy who still remains there? He's the only guy there who's still playing at an elite level. But I mean, you lost your left tackle.
Yeah, we got guards. I think we got two rookies.
You're not getting the same play from your guards who were studs on the interior of that line.
Right. Let me get Donnie in here right quick. We're running out of time. Let me get Donnie in here as well. I want to ask him about Lamar. Lamar Jackson. His thoughts on Lamar Jackson. I mean, is Big Les right? Are the defenses caught up to Lamar Jackson, or is it just like you said, the offensive line is depleted, and You know, you don't have a wide receiver to speak of. He didn't have one before, but he had some success. Is it just what is it? What do you think it is, Donnie? Is or has Lamar Jackson lost a little bit of his luster as far as how he plays quarterback?
I'll say this. I haven't watched enough of the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson in particular to give a great analysis on this right now. But I will say this. I just don't feel like we have a big enough sample size. I mean, he's only in his third year. You can't call him a success or a failure at this point. Yeah. Unfortunately for him, in his first – I think it's a product of the media that we have nowadays where everybody's on TV every single day. So you got to talk about something. So if you have a bad game, God forbid you have two or three bad weeks in a row. Now you're definitely the hot topic of discussion because we got to have something to fill this 2 hours worth of airspace. So now we got to call you overrated or underrated, blah, blah, blah. You don't have a big enough sample size from this kid yet. And one thing I will say, your success early is depends on how long your rope is. And what I mean by that is Pat Mahomes already won an MVP. He's already won a Super Bowl. So he can have 8 bad games in a row, and nobody's going to start calling him a bust until he gets into season 2 or 3 in a row of being unsuccessful. When you haven't had enough time to prove anything and don't have a big track record of winning Super Bowls or anything like that, then every 2 games, you know, you're getting criticized, like, is it over for you, you know, type of thing. So I just feel like that's what's going on with Lamar. Because me personally, I thought he was overrated early. You know, when everybody was going Lamar Jackson crazy last year, I'm like, he just fast. They ain't figured him out yet. You know what I mean? The NFL will catch up. He'll slow down. And they have at this point in time. But it's also now his job to figure it out on the other side. Yeah. But as you alluded to, everything is just not on Lamar. A lot has to do with your offensive line, your play call, and all of the above. But give him a little more time. Give him 2 or 3 more seasons before we call him a bust or a success. Because anybody, you know, a broke clock right twice a day and is wrong the rest of the time. So, you know, give him some time. Let time tell if this kid is good or not. Right now, the Ravens are just going through a struggle, but Lamar will figure that out.
At least let him get his offensive line back in there. At least let him get his offensive line back in there. JT,
real quick, if anybody deserves that type of scrutiny, it should be Matthew Stafford. I mean, they didn't give this boy all this money, and look at him. I mean, look at what happened with the Panthers. I mean, when you look at his career in Detroit, I think the media has given him a pass.
Yeah, and he's had receivers.
And not really held him accountable as a quarterback of that team that he should have been.
Absolutely. JT, you got an over and under for us? We got one real. We got like 7 minutes. We can get one in right quick. Hold tight.
Is it over? Is it under? It's time for JT's Over Under. Over Under. Over Under. Over Under. Over Under.
All right, man, whenever you're ready.
All right, fellas, I got an interesting one for you. As I personally look forward to Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. fight next weekend just for the entertainment value, I ran across something even more entertaining in that undercard. Jake Paul, who I have no idea who that is, 23 years old, will fight Nate Robinson, former NBA player who was 36 years old. I want to get y'all's opinion about, is this going to be a circus, which is what it's looking turning out to be, or will it be legitimized by the fact that Mike Tyson and Roy Jones will fight each other, even though both of them are past their prime, but just to say that they fought each other at some point in their career.
JB, let's start with you.
I think it's going to be a circus. Nate Robinson has hit his bottom. And I really don't see why Roy Jones would fight Mike Tyson. Watching him spar, watching Tyson spar right now, Mike Tyson still got the power that he had 10 years ago. And I don't know if Roy Jones could take that punishment from him. And if Mike is going to go in and really pull punches, because we've never seen him do it. So what Mike Tyson are we going to get when he steps into the ring? Are we going to get the subtle Mike, or are we going to get the Mike that's in a whirlwind? You know what I'm saying? So
Roy better hope Mike hit a couple blunts before he go in the ring so he can be all mellow.
I hope they got that bipolar. Hope they got that bipolar medicine ready for him.
For real, because if he go in there without his weed, ain't no, he might take Roy's head clean off. Donnie, what you think?
Man, let me start this off by saying I respect Nate Robinson. I'm impressed by him as a person. Guy who played football at a high level in college, played basketball at a high level in the NBA, and now you turn your focus on boxing. God, some people you just can't put in a box. He's this, he's that. Some people are just athletes. They're good at everything, and they can adapt to anything. And I personally look forward to seeing him make him box. He hasn't let me down anything else that he's tried. So I don't know who the other guy is he's fighting. Didn't even know Nate was in the shake until JD just said it. JT, I done called you everything but your name. JT just said it. But I want to see this. And I want to see what kind of skill little Nate brings. I hope it's an even match as far as weight class. I hope he's not fighting some 6'3", 280 guy. But if it's somebody in Nate's class, I think Nate could probably beat a couple of these boxers that are in his weight class right now in real life. You know, so I'm looking forward to seeing this one. And then as far as Tyson Roy Jones, definitely over the hill match. But I'll be honest, I haven't watched a boxing match since, golly, I can't think of one that I've watched. And definitely not in its entirety since maybe Floyd and Pacquiao. I'm trying to think of how, I know I may have watched one since then. But the point being, boxing ain't the same boxing that I grew up with. I don't even know who's the champion. I don't even know what the weight classes are right now. All I know is I'd rather see Mike Tyson and Roy Jones fight than anybody they have currently fighting in the boxing. I don't even know what it's called anymore. Is it still called WBC? And if that's the case, I'm more excited to see Mike Tyson than and Roy Jones than anybody else. I just hope Roy don't end up unconscious and like seriously with concussed or anything like that when it's all said and done.
Yeah, it's true that. Big Les, what's your thoughts on the fight?
Well, Nate Robinson has never fought before. And when you're fighting somebody who's probably been fighting all their life, it's a whole new different beast to just say I'm going out there to box somebody than to somebody who's been doing it all their life.
Yeah.
So I don't know how good it's going to be or how good Nate has become, you know, but you like I said, if you're fighting somebody that's what they grew up doing, then it's a whole nother different type of fight.
Agreed.
As far as Tyson and Roy Jones go, I think from what I saw earlier when this first came about, Roy Jones was not in shape. You know, so I saw some of his clips and he was kind of, you know, he had a little fat on him. And then I think something was said about Mike Tyson was very serious about this and that. And the next thing I know, when I saw Roy Jones, he was cut up. So Mike Tyson's 53 years old.
Yeah.
So early, yes. If Roy Jones can go late, but you know, Roy Jones ain't no spring chicken. So I think who's ever in the best shape, if Tyson goes early, he can get to him. But probably around, I think maybe around the fifth or sixth round, it might get a little sloppy, you know. I don't
a lot
think
of
after
lean
that it's probably gonna be
a lot of lean.
Yeah, a lot of lean, a lot of gasping.
Yeah, a lot of hugging, stuff a lot like of hugging. That. So
I think the best rounds are probably gonna be the first three rounds.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what happens after that. So
Exactly. For sure.
And to add to Donnie's point, the last fight that I've watched from start to finish was Foreman and Ali. I saw that yesterday.
Oh wow. Wow.
And I'm like you, I have watched some old boxing matches in their entirety. But I definitely haven't watched anything coming out. Devontae Davis, I hope I didn't mess that boy's name up, but none of his fights, any of these people lately.
I
did see the Crawford fight, though. I did see that.
Yeah, I haven't been watching much boxing, but I think, Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, it's going to be the first three rounds. Better check it out. If Mike don't knock him out in the first round, if he go out there like that, I don't know. It's just an exhibition. And I think Nate is familiar with boxing. I don't think he's never fought as a professional, but I think he's fought a lot as an amateur. I don't know for sure, but I think I saw him say.
From what I read, that he really hasn't had any experience. But you could be right.
But I know I just read something where he really hasn't had much experience.
Okay. I thought I heard him say something about him boxing before this.
Hey, well, if he been doing the horizontal poker, why he been training for his fight? We know he ain't gonna last long because he ain't gonna have no leg. You dig?
For real. All right, so that's the end of our show, fellas. Appreciate y'all hanging out with me. JT, Big Les, Donnie.
So you just don't like your feet playing.
JB. And whoever that is, thank you so much for joining the program. So, on behalf of my man, James J.T. Thompson, Adonis Donnie Martin, J.B. Mr. 299, Nima Shining Star L, the Poetic Goddess, Nyana Renee, Big Les, Lil Bucky, Pastor Fight, Mama Shining Star L, Kendra D, All About Us Radio, I'm Big Woo. Big Wool Radio. Peace. God bless. We out. I fall back in order to avoid contamination. The game is full of garbage. Nothing about it dismotivate. I listen to your bars. I'm disappointed in y'all. Thought y'all was working. Can't believe what I walked in on. When I came through the door, folks said it in 94. Told my brother, everybody know that man got flow. He a force to be reckoned with. The beast is dated, but that razor sharp flow. But league decapitating. You debate. You're listening to Big Wool Radio. Like, are you even listening? This dude killing it. Gotta be kidding me. Believe in the scene.